All right, everybody, this is bad. The deal that Donald Trump is working on with Iran just leaked to the press yesterday, and it is so much worse than anybody could have imagined. We are 85 days into this war. We've spent probably $100 billion at this point. Over a dozen U.S. service members have died. Tens of thousands of people have died in the Middle East, and we are in a worse position than we were 2 months ago, and in a way worse position than we were in under Obama after he negotiated the JCPOA. This new deal that they're working on is so bad that Donald Trump's own Secretary of State from his first term, his former Sec of State, Mike Pompeo, came out and started blasting this deal publicly. That is somebody who worked closely with Trump during his first term, saying, hey, we complained about Obama unfreezing $1.7 billion back in 2016. How the hell are you going to send $25 billion, which is currently what they are floating in this deal? So let's walk through the framework. Let's walk through the negotiation. But first, I just want to show you the spin that's currently going on in MAGA media. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson tweeted out last night. This one's really funny. Just bear with me for 1 second. He said, President Trump is the only one who could have gotten Iran, the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism, to the negotiating table. All right, pause. Even that first line is so incredibly stupid and ahistorical and dumb that he has to have been memeing or laughing when he was typing that. Obama literally got Iran to the negotiating table and got them to negotiate the JCPOA. Iran has not been friendly with the U.S. for a while, but the idea that we couldn't even negotiate with them is false. Trump knows that there were negotiations going on under Obama. So does Mike Johnson. He says, we are greatly encouraged to learn a peace deal in Iran is underway, and we're looking to learn more about the specifics. That's actually false. It's a ceasefire that they're working on. They're floating a 60-day ceasefire, which is far different than a peace deal. But to continue, he says, under President Trump's leadership, our nation is stronger, more respected on the global stage, and safer than ever before. All right, let's debunk all of those. Our nation is not stronger. We've depleted a lot of our missile stockpiles, and the average American is struggling. More respected on the global stage just debunks itself. Donald Trump has been bullying all of our allies over the past year and a half or so, and now is turning us into a pariah with these wars. And then safer than ever before, I mean, that just loops back into the first one. Donald Trump has made the Middle East a more dangerous place. He's placated other countries like Vladimir Putin, Russia, even China, while also depleting our missile stockpiles, our interceptor missiles, our Patriot missiles. We've lost about a half of our stockpiles, according to the CSIS, and that is dangerous. So Mike Pompeo, who was Donald Trump's Secretary of State from 2018 to 2021, came out and said, the deal being floated with Iran seems straight out of the Wendy Sherman, Robert Malley, Ben Rhodes playbook. He's like shitting on Obama and Biden there. Pay the IRGC to build a weapons of mass destruction program and terrorize the world. Not remotely America first. It's straightforward. Open the damn strait. Deny Iran access to money. Take out enough Iranian capability so it cannot threaten our allies in the region. Overdue, let's go. So Mike Pompeo just wants us to escalate more and go into war more, but even people that were advising Trump on his first term, representing Trump during his first term, are coming out and saying this is an abject disaster. So Stephen Chung, Donald Trump's press secretary, responds to Mike Pompeo and says, Mike Pompeo has no idea what the fuck he's talking about. He should shut his stupid mouth and leave the real work to the professionals. He's not read into anything that's happening, so how would he know? Dude, this is not signaling strength or confidence or conviction from the Trump administration in this moment. It's kind of the opposite of all of those things that they are currently signaling. To continue, as I was researching for this video, I got two tweets back to back in my Twitter feed from different reporters and journalists, and they were completely contradictory messages coming out of the Trump admin, like 10 minutes apart. I'm not even joking. Look at the timing of these tweets. 18 minutes ago, Phil Stewart says, Trump, quote, I have informed my representatives not to rush into a deal and that time is on our side. The blockade will remain in full force and effect until an agreement is reached, certified, and signed. There can be no mistakes. So he's saying, let's take our time. Then Jennifer Jacobs says, 8 minutes ago, the U.S. believes Iran's supreme leader has approved the broad template for a draft deal in Iran. Iran has agreed in principle to this, this, and this, and the U.S. is trying to get them to commit to other things. But, I mean, at the end of the day, they're saying, on one hand, we're like close to a deal. We're right about to get there. Then Donald Trump sent out a long Truth Social post saying, no, we're now taking our time. 2 weeks ago, he said they were begging for a deal, Iran, that we're on the verge of a deal, that they have no cards left. Clearly, they still have a lot of cards. So Trump then posted just a few minutes ago, quote, "One of the worst deals ever signed by our country was the Iran nuclear deal, put forth and signed into existence by Barack Obama." And by the way, we're going to get there in 1 second, because what he's proposing is way worse than even the least charitable interpretation of the Iran nuclear deal. The Iran nuclear deal was great for progress, but it was not perfect. Imperfect deals happen because both sides have to make concessions, and we're at a point where Trump is about to get us to a way worse spot than the JCPOA. But continuing, also, isn't Trump just conceding right here what Mike Johnson was trying to argue against? Mike Johnson saying no one even got Iran to the negotiating table but Trump, and Trump is saying, well, Obama did get Iran to the negotiating table, we just disagree with what he did. So these are two separate arguments that we're hearing here. But to continue, "One of the worst deals ever made by our country was the Iran nuclear deal put forth by Obama and the rank amateurs in his administration. It was a direct path to Iran developing a nuclear weapon." No, it wasn't. "Removing the JCPOA was a direct path. Not so with the transaction currently being negotiated with Iran by the Trump admin. The exact opposite, in fact. The negotiations are proceeding in an orderly and constructive manner, and I have informed my representatives not to rush into a deal and that time is on our side. The blockade will remain in full force and effect until an agreement is reached, certified, and signed. Both sides must take their time and get it right. There can be no mistakes. Our relationship with Iran is becoming much more professional and productive." What? Over the past 80 days, you've threatened genocide on them like 3 times, called them terrorists, liars who shouldn't be cheated, but now you're having productive, now they're like trustworthy and productive? He says, "I would like to thank thus far all of the countries in the Middle East." Okay, so beyond Donald Trump's statement, I really want to show you this montage of Dave Rubin, a conservative commentator. I mean, this is really brutal. It's a brutal montage. You're going to notice he's wearing different clothes in all of the videos because it's a compilation over the past 12 to 13 weeks of this war of Rubin every single show saying that we are about to have a deal or saying that we're on the verge of this. He's not bound by any reality, any facts. He's not bound by any timelines. He just lies about what's going to happen this week. It doesn't happen. And then he does it again the next week. He's not bound by anything. So let's watch this. And if you appreciate having commentary and news that actually gives you the facts and the truth of what's happening, then make sure you subscribe. Make sure you drop a like on this video to below to help boost us in the algorithm. Genuinely, we're fighting against people like this in the algorithm who are constantly lying. And sometimes lies are incentivized. So that's why we are continuing to double down on the truth and disrupt his lies while also making our own progress in this independent sphere. So let's watch.
So allow me to make a prediction here in my prediction stuff. I'm not Polymarket. I'm not Kalshi, but I'm pretty good at predictions. And my prediction here is that everything that the media is now going to say about Iran's going to close the Strait of Hormuz and energy prices are going to go crazy and all these, none of this is going to come to pass. Gas prices are coming down and will continue to come down. If the United States wants to keep the Strait of Hormuz open, which it does, and Donald Trump said we'll escort ships through if we have to, it's going to stay open. This is the leader of the Iranian opposition. He has been in exile. His name is Reza Pahlavi. We have shown you videos of him before. He's the eldest son of the former Shah of Iran, and he likely is the next leader of Iran. This is the guy that, by all accounts, when this war ends, will go in and he will be the leader. And again, it will be different. Just remember, it sounds like the Kurds are starting to enter the country with arms to help the people take out the last vestiges of the IRGC. There's a lot of good things happening. This is Iranians, and you can hear they are chanting Bibi June, Bibi Netanyahu. In Iran, they are chanting praise for Benjamin Netanyahu.
It was a deep fake meme that he's citing right here. If you look at how can you be this consistently wrong about everything? This is almost impressive at this point. We just watched about 9 different predictions in succession. And all of these predictions were not only false, but some of them embarrassingly so. Some of them were just deepfake AIs. And we're only halfway through this video. The Daily Wire wonders why they are rapidly losing audience, and they just lie to people.
You take out Khamenei, and you take out his number 2, and his number 3, and his number 4, and his number 37, and his number 42. Then suddenly the next guy's going, it's a little hot in here. And then people start behaving a little bit differently. They've plotted this war, this extraordinary war that will be studied for decades, right? For decades, they will study how this incredible war took place, that we are hitting critical infrastructure. We are damaging the regime, so hopefully the people will be able to take over their country. Now, the question is, if you're going to hit power plants and you're going to hit civilian infrastructure and things of that nature, how do you make sure it's not going to harm the people, but just the regime? And when we have a Department of War that is not looking for war, but will perform war, then we are going to do it at the maximum level of competency. I think the way you can look at this, I haven't heard anyone else say this, but this seems to me to be the war to end all wars.
Dude, he's just repeating lines that he hears from the administration. I just remembered, I actually challenged him to a debate on the Iran war on Twitter like a month ago. Michael McFaul, a professor of political science at Stanford, tweeted this out. He said, "The Iran nuclear deal, signed in 2015 by multiple countries, advance the security interest of the United States more effectively and less costly to lives and treasure than the Trump agreement being floated / leaked right now. Not even close." Now let's start getting into the agreement and what it says. Breaking: Iran rejects the New York Times U.S. claims that Iran agreed to hand over its highly enriched uranium and suspend enrichment. That did not happen. That was absolutely false. But the U.S. peace deal with Iran does include reopening the Strait of Hormuz, an end to the U.S. blockade and to the Iranian blockade, releasing about $6 billion in funds, but we have estimates that it's up to $25 billion, and then the withdrawal of U.S. naval forces from around the world. What do you notice about all of this? Like, look at it again. What do you notice about this compared to the original goals of Operation Epic Fury? Well, Joyce breaks it down very well. Here's the expected memorandum of understanding, for U.S. and Iran negotiations. One more time. A 60-day ceasefire. Ships can go through the Strait of Hormuz. The U.S. is lifting the blockade. An end to the war. Iran sells oil and gets sanctions relief. Negotiations on nuclear program can begin. It's unclear on the Lebanon front or who controls the Hormuz or if Israel is bounded by the ceasefire. So, Joyce says, if you're the Iranian regime right now, this is a very good bargain. Remember, the objectives at the start of the war for the United States, for us, were denuclearization, regime change, destroy all of their ballistic missiles, no enrichment of uranium, and remove all of the highly enriched uranium that already exists there. We have gotten none of these things. We're not even closer to any of these things. This war is an abject failure by any sense of the word. It says, I just want to read this one more time. Denuclearization, regime change, ballistic missiles being destroyed, zero enrichment. These were all of the goals of the war. What have we gotten? Basically just a return back to the status quo of January of this year, except the regime now has a stronger leader in power. Chili Dog says, okay, let's summarize this failed war. Number one, we blew through a shitload of critical munitions. Number two, we changed the 1979 old fogies for a new young buck regime intact. Three, we did not get the enriched uranium. Four, we did not galvanize or help the people of Iran who are now pissed at getting bombed by Israel and the U.S. Five, we bombed a school full of children. Six, we did not end the nuclear program. Seven, we here in America are facing huge gas prices. Eight, we did not accomplish a single thing. Nine, we have a surrender president who is going to pay off Iran so they open the straits. 10, we have a drunk effing Secretary of Defense. 11, we have a Russian spy, DOI, who just resigned. 12, we have a president at 32% approval rating. So things are clearly not going well for this admin in this failing war. Ben Rhodes said last night at the bottom here, nothing was accomplished by Operation Epic Fury except putting the IRGC in charge of Iran and the Strait of Hormuz. And Gregory Brew says, the U.S. did manage to kill Iran's leader, a historically cautious decision maker with a healthy respect for U.S. military power, and then we replaced him with a collective leadership dominated by military figures who believe the most effective means of ensuring Iran's defense is taking the global economy hostage while turning the Persian Gulf into a live fire zone. He's laying out Khamenei, the 86-year-old leader that was killed in the opening salvo of this war, versus who's in charge now and who has been in charge, which is the IRGC, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. They're basically a highly radicalized, highly ideological military force that have no troubles terrorizing the people of Iran or the people of the world, right? So looping all the way back to this, What an awful deal. Donald Trump is very clearly panicked in saying, do not go into this deal. I mean, it's so clear what Trump is saying here. When he's saying, take your time with this deal, he's saying, we're about to get smacked around and we should not accept this. So I just, when Donald Trump lies and says that we have all the cards and Iran has none, anybody with eyes can see the very simple fact that the United States is struggling to achieve a deal. We have even conservatives all over Twitter criticizing this potential leaked framework, and it's awful. It's bad for the United States. I'm going to leave it there. If you appreciate these videos, drop a like, subscribe. I'll see you all later. Peace out.